Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing the fundamentals of commitment. If you ask anyone who has ever accomplished success in any area of their lives, they will most usually tell you that perhaps the most important element of success is being able to consistently commit to habits that align with our desired vision, goals, or outcome. Now, the reason this is the case is because success in life is dependent on our ability to grow into a person who is successful. And this is based on the philosophy that we get in life a direct reflection of who we are. And who we become is a direct result of the habits committed to and carried out consistently. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss what are the fundamentals of commitment? What does it mean to be committed to something, to make a commitment? I want to talk about the importance of commitments, the power of commitments, specifically commitments on the healing journey. I want to talk about why so many people, specifically abuse and trauma victims, struggle with commitments, following through on commitments. And finally, I'm going to offer some tips on how to make commitments in your life a little bit easier for you and more sustainable so that we can get the outcomes that we want in our life, the successful outcomes we are looking for. So let's begin with some of the fundamental elements of commitment. Firstly, a commitment is a promise that we make to ourselves or others that we are going to take certain actions consistently regardless of how we feel and despite challenges that come our way or resistances that show up. So to commit essentially is to set an intention to follow specific guidelines and follow through these guidelines to reach a specific goal or desired outcome. So commitments that we make have a ton of power when they are used correctly. So when we decide to commit to something, essentially we are gathering all of our energies, both conscious and unconsciously, and guiding those energies in a specific direction. In addition, we are able to pull upon and call upon universal energies to assist us in our commitment. So when we set a commitment, we are also gathering powerful forces to come and assist us in reaching our goals. Commitments are not just one-time statements that we make, but rather they are a set of guidelines that we aim to live by, and we are continuously bringing ourselves back to these commitments. We are continuously measuring ourselves in relation to them. You can say that we are constantly recommitting to them. Now, when it comes to growth and healing, commitments are essentially a call to reach for a higher and better state of being, higher state of consciousness, more health, more wholeness, more peace. So whenever we decide that we want better for our lives, we are always going to be assisted and helped and guided by our higher self or by the universe or by the universal energies. And what happens is that when we do set the intention to grow and to heal, the universe is very often going to send people, resources, and situations that align us with a better life. So that being said, it is our job, once we make that commitment, to continuously reinforce our commitment and consistently take divinely inspired action to assure that we are doing our part in reaching the desired outcome, our desired goal. So specifically, when a person decides to go on a healing journey, essentially what they're doing is they are committing to outcomes in their life that are better than they are, more inner peace, more wholeness, more joy, more health, happiness, and sustainable and fulfilling intimate relationships. So once a person sets this intention and commits to a healing journey or to healing, the universal powers or a higher self or source, we're going to activate these powers to bring forth into our life situations and people and opportunities that are going to facilitate this healing process. Now, if we truly want to heal and overcome our traumas, break down faulty programming, shift out of negative core beliefs, and align with a healthier and more conscious lifestyle, we are going to need to get in touch with our deep unconscious wounds, our unconscious mind, the programs and the beliefs that reside unresolved in our unconscious, in our subconscious mind. Now, these experiences are what we refer to as a trigger. So essentially, in order to heal, we need to get triggered, because triggers are a direct access to the unconscious, access that we have not necessarily had until now, to unresolved wounds that need our attention for healing. So triggers, when we are triggered, it's bringing our unconscious into the conscious awareness for processing and for healing. So our commitment to healing is going to attract people and situations that seem to bring our life in the opposite direction of healing. They shake up our lives, they bring more perhaps pain, they trigger us continuously, and they seem to bring us farther from healing. But in truth, these painful situations, these triggering relationships or experiences, and these chaos breakdowns in our life, the chaos that we experience, are a direct response to our intention and commitment and desire to heal. Because what they're doing is they're waking up the necessary wounds in the unconscious mind and then bringing it to the conscious mind for repair, which will eventually bring more peace, more happiness, more joy, and more wholeness, more healing. So while it might seem like it's getting worse, in fact, our intention to heal is going to bring the chaos into our lives in many instances, because we need to become aware of that which has been unconscious. Now, it is extremely common that abuse and trauma victims are going to struggle with making commitments, and if they do make commitments, have a difficult time following through with commitments that they made. And this is particularly the case when it comes to intimate relationships, committing to intimacy or committing to an intimate partner, or even just committing to intimacy with oneself. Now, why is this the case? Why are abuse and trauma victims, why is it so difficult for them to make commitments? The first reason is because commitments require a certain amount of trust. When we make a commitment, we're trusting ourselves to follow through the commitments. We're trusting other people, let's say, if we're in a committed relationship. We're trusting that our hard work will pay off. In some instances, we're trusting a higher power or the universe or God or source. And for obvious reasons, trauma and abuse victims who have had their trust violated and betrayed will struggle to be vulnerable again and trust, which will then open them up to potential getting hurts and therefore have a difficult time committing. In addition, commitment requires a certain level of mental, emotional, spiritual, and energetic focus. So abuse and trauma victims whose energy is essentially fragmented, their sense of self is fragmented, and their energies are sort of all over the place, they're going to have a difficult time gathering all their energies in one focused direction. So even if abuse victims or trauma victims desire to commit their energies in a specific direction, they are going to be pulled in different directions at all times because of this fragmented self, which makes it very difficult to focus these energies towards one desired outcome. Furthermore, commitments require that we get in touch with who we are, with ourselves, and ultimately what we want, and developing a plan to achieve our desired goals and vision based on who we are and what we want. So abuse and trauma victims are very often going to struggle with not knowing who they are outside of the traumas that they've been through, or perhaps the sense of self that they identified with, or their defense mechanisms. And as a consequence of this sort of lack of self-awareness, they're going to struggle with not knowing what they want out of life. Because if you don't know who you are, if you lack self-awareness, you're going to have a difficult time knowing what you want. So without these things, there's going to be a difficult time identifying what it is that they need to commit to in order to achieve outcomes and results that they would want, let's say, if they had self-awareness, if they're more aware of who they truly are. Furthermore, commitments require that we push off immediate gratifications for more fulfilling gains potentially further down the line. So trauma and abuse victims oftentimes are in a lot of pain, and they're very much focused on soothing that pain or not being in pain, which has them focusing on short-term, and therefore they're going to have a hard time, let's say, putting aside short-term soothing for potential fulfillment later on. So victims who of abuse or trauma victims who also struggle, let's say, to be able to see the bigger picture, like let's say they have a hard time seeing the forest from the trees, very much focused on a small picture, sort of a tunnel vision, they're going to struggle to see the benefit of doing away with short-term gratification in place of outcomes that are later on more fulfilling and that have much more let's say long-term gratification. Now, when it comes to intimacy in particular, which requires by definition us to be open, to be trusting, vulnerable, authentic, present, abuse and trauma victims will resist committing to intimacy because this opens up to potential betrayal, rejection, exploitation, bullying, let's say being smothered or controlled or being abandoned, issues that they are all too common that are all too common to victims of abuse, specifically in early childhood. So commitments in its most basic form are a promise that we make to ourselves and other people. When we make a promise And let's say we don't keep that promise to ourselves, we're going to feel less of ourselves. In a sense, we're going to feel like we betrayed our own self or our highest interest, and our self-esteem, our self-respect, our confidence that comes from honoring ourselves and honoring commitments. Let's say if we make an intention to keep a promise, if we don't commit to them, we'll begin to lose respect for ourselves, and naturally our self-esteem and our confidence is going to be lowered. Now, when we choose to make a commitment and we keep that commitment, we keep that promise to ourselves or others, we're going to feel more respect for ourselves, we're going to have some more self-love as a result, and we're going to overall feel much better about ourselves. We're going to see ourselves through a more self-respecting lens. We're going to see ourselves as a person who makes commitments and then follows through, and as a result of that, our self-image is going to be enhanced, and then we're going to have more self-respect for ourselves and then self-love, like I mentioned. In addition, the healthier and higher conscious habits that we have committed to have their own intrinsic benefit to them, which gradually are going to raise our level of health, our happiness, we're going to be much more at peace with our existence. And overall, that's going to slowly but surely raise our self-esteem, self-respect, because life overall is going to be better for us. So what do we do when we don't follow through on a commitment? It's very common that we set out to make a commitment to reach a goal or a vision, an outcome, and we fall short, right? And it's very common to, let's say, critique ourselves, judge ourselves, shame ourselves when we don't follow through. This is particularly the case for victims of abuse or trauma who, let's say, see the value in who they are based on outcomes, based on, let's say, achievements or being a certain way, right? So because of this struggle, some people are going to choose, let's say, to not even make commitments for, let's say, fear of falling short of them, and then, let's say, feeling and thinking less of themselves, or even worse, criticizing, mocking, shaming, or judging oneself, or even just fear of other people's judgments, other people's opinion. So the antidote to this is compassion, forgiveness, accountability, and recommitting to our commitments with lessons learned or more awareness. See, the goal of a commitment isn't necessarily the reaching the goal. It isn't perfection, and it's not necessarily about reaching the outcome, the goal itself. The goal of the commitment essentially is to set the intention, identify a specific actions that align with our goals, and then do the best we can to implement those actions continuously. We then want to check in with ourselves and see how close or how far we came in reaching our goals. So when we do this, and let's say we have accountability check-ins either with ourselves or, let's say, accountability buddies, this can allow for open discussion regarding what is working, what is not, and ultimately what can be improved. And this is where compassion is vital. If we were to go ahead and criticize and shame ourselves for not reaching our goals, our commitments, then essentially we're going to be less inclined to try again if we didn't reach our intended goals. When we have compassion and forgiveness for ourselves, and we consider the fact that we are human beings who are prone to error and shortcomings, we essentially give ourselves the grace to then learn from our experience and ultimately learn how we can do better the next time. We're able to self-reflect and identify ways in which we can do better, and then we can try again with this, let's say, newly acquired awareness. So accountability is where we don't make excuses, right? We're not blaming or denying in order to avoid guilt or shame. Rather, we're taking responsibility for areas in our life that we have strengths. We want to honor the strengths that we have. We also want to take responsibility for our weaknesses and where we're falling short of our highest potential. What we want to do is we want to continue to refine our strengths, but also at the same time working to improve our weaknesses so that we can ultimately get a better result next time, get closer and closer to our desired vision or our desired goals. So this positive reinforcement is going to give a necessary positive feedback loop, and that will be much more inclined to try again and again until we get it right. Right? We're much more motivated naturally to commit to actions and habits that eventually lead us to our goals if we are holding ourselves accountable with compassion and forgiveness rather than beating ourselves up or criticizing ourselves or fear. So when it comes to healing, healing doesn't necessarily happen because of a one-off commitment, because we made a splash in the pan action, a big, large action to change our lives, right? It happens gradually because we make decisions consistently to act from our higher self. And as we commit in engaging in life and growth-affirming habits consistently, we eventually reach the healing outcomes that we're looking for. And very often, we go months before any significant changes are made. But when we commit to continuously honoring our commitments and consistently doing so, we eventually will break through to a healthier, peaceful, and more whole paradigm of existence, a higher state of consciousness, a more healthier way of operating. And the only way to get these healing results is to commit to them daily and consistently. There really is no other way. There are no shortcuts. There's no cheat code, so to speak. It really does require commitments, regardless of how uncomfortable it can be at times and regardless of our desire to quit. This is why commitments to our healing habits is really the only way to truly and sustainably heal. So let's talk about some tips on how to make commitments and essentially use these commitments to reach our goals or to reach healing or whatever desired outcome you'd like. First tip is we want to have a vision for our life. When we have a vision for our life, essentially we have direction where we're going. And when we have a direction, it's easier to identify goals that align with this vision. And once we have goals that align with this vision, it's easier to then identify habits that will align with these goals. And then once we have those habits, we just want to commit to them daily. And we sort of want to see the bigger picture, but also the micro, the daily habits that align with this vision. In addition, it's so important not to attach to the goals and not see the goals as the main point, and definitely not see our worth in the goals, but realize that oftentimes the success is the journey of becoming the type of person who is successful. It's also very important to have an accountability buddy. This could be a friend, this could be a therapist, a coach, a healer, a family member, just somebody to check in with. When we have somebody that we need to account to, somebody we need to answer to, chances of following through on our commitments are much more likely, especially if our accountability buddy is someone who has compassion and ultimately open to discussing what is working and what's not. Someone like that can be hugely beneficial when it comes to continuing the course and not getting sidetracked or let's say procrastinating. It's so important to journal our progress or identify the progress made, even if it's small, and we want to celebrate that success because oftentimes we are so focused on the big outcomes that we lose the fact that we are succeeding, we're making progress, and if we celebrate successes, chances are we'll be much more motivated and positively reinforced to continue along the journey to then get more success, which we will then celebrate and feel more joy as a result. Finally, it's so important to focus on our strengths, on the positives, but also acknowledge weaknesses and shortcomings. We are not our strengths, we're not just the positive, we're not just our weaknesses, and it's important to see the wholeness of the human being and realize that yes, we wanna do better in all ways, but meet ourselves where we're at with compassion and realizing that yes, we have strengths, we wanna acknowledge that and honor that. We also realize that there's things to work on, so having that balance is extremely important. So to conclude, you know, everyone wants results of a great life. We want, let's say, whatever that means for you, money, relationships, time, freedom, mental health, peace. And we're very often motivated by these outcomes to start on a journey to get there. And we very often overlook and very oftentimes we're not willing to see the uncomfortable and seemingly insignificant and quote unquote unsexy things that need to happen daily and consistently to reach these outcomes, you know, regardless of how small they are. So success in any realm of life is very much dependent on our ability to become the person who is essentially successful. And that can only happen from moment to moment, choosing to act and live our life in our highest interests with long-term fulfillment in mind. So when we do this, when we commit to the small habits, we can guarantee that whatever outcome will happen will be the best for our interest. So we don't necessarily need to commit to attach to an outcome. We just know that if there's an outcome we want and we head in that direction and we are doing the small minute-to-minute divinely inspired actions that align with this vision, whatever outcome happens will be for our best interest and it'll bring us the most peace, happiness, joy, and fulfillment. So if you are struggling with commitments, if you are an abuse and trauma victims and you are having a difficult time with the healing journey, specifically committing to it consistently, feel free to reach out. I myself can work as an accountability buddy and we'll have check-ins where we can continuously reinforce the process to assure that you are heading in that direction of healing, of wholeness. So if you are interested in working with me one-on-one, it'd be an honor to do so. Feel free to reach out to me directly. My email is yitz@magnoliahealingcenter.com. You can reach me by phone, 818-210-6049. I want to thank you all so much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.